I knew of a man one time that was a very successful businessman, and he had a very successful company, and when he got enough money to buy his first brand new Cadillac, I mean, he went out and bought this Cadillac. Man, he thought this was the most awesome car there ever was, but he didn't serve God. I mean, he was a Christian, he said, but he wouldn't put God first. He's driving down the road one day, riding along in his Cadillac, then look at my car, and some young kid come through a stoplight and run, hit him right in the side and just messed that car up. That guy jumped out of that car and began to read that kid the riot act. He was screaming at that kid, "You idiot, look what you've done to my car." And he fell dead. Had a heart attack right there. Well, that new car didn't do him much good, did it? He didn't get to drive it hardly no time. He lost his cool and got angry with a young man. And because he didn't serve God, he didn't know how to control his anger, and it literally killed him. Now, if he'd have known how to serve God and he'd been serving God, the kid would have never been there in the first place to hit his car. If he'd have bought that car and said, "Hey, folks, I do work hard, but I serve God. I mean, I put God first in everything I do. Look, I got the Ten Commandments right here in front of my business. In fact, that hotel Cheryl and I stayed in out at Odessa last Thursday night, they had a granite deal this big, this thick, and this tall, and it's got the Ten Commandments engraved on the front, right in the front door when you walk into the hotel. And I said, whenever they asked me, "What are your comments about our hotel?" I said, "I like the Ten Commandments out front best." I didn't tell them I liked the room service. I didn't like the rooms. I didn't like the bed. I didn't say nothing. I said, "I like the Ten Commandments out front. That's why I stay here." And that is why we stay here. I like it because they put God first. That man is a very successful businessman, but he has that in front of every one of his hotels. Now then, if we put God first, that man, as long as he walks in love and puts God first like that, he may live to be 100 years old. And he'll be able to enjoy his children, his grandchildren, and all kinds of stuff because he's putting God first. And if he does it like Psalms 91 says, he won't have any sickness or disease either. He can walk in divine health. Then verse 5 and 6. 5 and 6 says, "Foolish people refuse to work and almost starve." Do you know anybody like that? Yeah, there's a few of them out there. Not just a few. There's a lot. I saw this morning on the news on the internet, we are now approaching nationwide 9.8% unemployed. And many of them have been unemployed above 6 months. Now, let me tell you, if people want to work, there's something they can do. You know, I remember whenever I decided I wanted to go back to school after I got back from Vietnam, I was in business. I closed the business down. I drove to Oklahoma, to Tulsa, where I was going to go to school. I had no job. I pulled into a gas station, and I, first one I seen, that's way back yonder 30 or 40 years ago, I said, "Do you guys need anybody to pump gas? Because they used to pump gas for you." He said, "No, I don't," but said the guy right down the street does. I said, "Okay." So I drove down the street and I said, "You need somebody to pump gas?" He said, "Yeah." And of course it didn't pay hardly anything, but it paid a little. And so I said, "Well, what hours can I work?" He said, "I need somebody from 3 to 11. I said, "That's perfect. I go to school from 6 to 1. I said, "That's perfect. I'll take it." And so I pumped gas at that station from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 11 o'clock at night, every night, studied and everything until I found a better job and paid a little bit more money. But hey, I was grateful. A lot of men would have said, "What? You're going to pump gas? I mean, you've had your own business. I mean, you know, you were doing quite well, and you're going to lower yourself to pump gas? Hey, I don't consider that lowering myself. I'll do whatever I have to do to make the money that I need to pay the bills for me and my family. I don't care what it takes." Is that right? I don't care if it's digging ditches. If I'm going to be a Christian and I'm going to dig ditches, that ditch is going to be the best ditch anybody ever had dug. You know, it ain't going to have rocks faced. It's going to be clean. I'm going to be the best ditch digger there are, because the Lord tells me, whatever I do, do it as unto Him and not unto man. Well, I don't want to dig a crooked ditch. And you know, I got tickled at Dave when we were building this church. There's a few times I'd say, "Dave, that's okay. Just go ahead and put it right there." He said, "Look, Thurman, I ain't building this church for you. I'm building this for my King." And he's told us to do it like I was working for him. So he said, "It's got to be perfect." I said, "Wow, okay, praise God, make it perfect." See, I was in a little bit too much of a hurry on a place or two, but Dave, he wasn't going to go there. He wanted it to be perfect. And that's the way it should be. See, When you got a healing like Dave got, when you've been sick all of your life for 40-something years, and he gets healed, and now he ain't sick no more, and when the doctor said you can't have no children if you do what you got's in your DNA and it's going to be in your babies, and I told him, no, Dave, it's just a demon. Once you get healed, you can have all the babies you want to, and there won't none of them be sick, and now he's got three running around here that ain't sick and fixing to have a fourth one anytime, and I know that little guy ain't going to be sick either. He's going to be perfect because we stand on God's word. You want to do what you do perfect for the king because he did perfect work for Dave. Y'all see where I'm coming from? He wants to be about God's work. They feel it is better to be lazy and barely survive than to work hard. Especially when in the long run, everything is so futile. And that's what people say. Well, why work hard? Why? I'm just making enough to barely get by. Instead of living in a nice house and driving a nice car, I'll just walk or ride a bicycle. What's the big deal? You know, and that's the way some people look at life. Well, you know, you can look at it like that if you want to. But the scripture says a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Now, do you want to be a wise man? Yeah, I don't want to work and make a lot of money and a lot of things and spend it all on myself. I want to live comfortable. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy living comfortable. But when I leave here, I want to leave my son something. You know, I want to leave him something, praise God. So when we go, Cheryl and I are going to go out together. The reason I said I ain't going to leave her nothing because me and her is going together. See, so we ain't going to need nothing. Everything that we have is going to be taken care of in heaven. And so they feel it is better to be lazy and barely survive than to work hard. Verse 7 and 8. I observed yet another example of meaningless in our world. This is a case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. Do you know anybody like this? A man that does not have a wife. He has no children. He has no family, no brothers, no sisters, no nothing. But yet all he does is work, work, work. I mean, man, he's diligent. He works and he's building an empire. He's got $1 million or maybe $5 million in the bank. Oh, yeah, he drives a big, nice car and lives in a great, big, beautiful home. You know, I have known men that get like that. And then one day I said, you know, you ought to get married. Oh, no, I ain't going to get married because if I get married, I'd have to leave half of this to her. Boy. You want to know where that guy's probably going to go when he dies? He probably ain't going to go to heaven. There's no love of no kind. He does not want to share anything. He'd rather keep it all himself and give it to nobody but the state than to leave it to his wife. I mean, I'm so grateful that I have a family. Aren't you? Now, when it comes to brothers and sisters, I only got one sister left. I had three, but I only got one left, and she's 9 years older than me. So what if I were to leave her my farm here and the one I got in Goldsway? What would she do with it? Nothing. She would have wanted it. In fact, when Mom and Dad died down there, they left me and my two sisters 186 acres of land, which I kept. My sister, her third, she didn't want it. She sold it to my nephews. She said, I don't need that land. You know, I'll sell it to y'all at a good price. Y'all can have it. Do whatever you want to. But she said, I don't need land. I ain't going to be out there farming. You know, she was a school teacher. And she didn't, you know, she's a retired school teacher now, and she enjoys staying at home with her husband. And of course, he's, you know, one of them old guys too, you know, when you're 9 years older than me, you've got to be old, right? Praise God, you know. So anyway, but they're both living in divine health. My sister, although she is, she's coming up on 80. She's fixing to be 80 years old, and her husband's just a little bit older than she is. And as far as I know, neither one of them have had any kind of sickness and disease, but they put God first. They go to church, they serve the Lord, produce fruit for the kingdom. It says, he works hard to gain as much wealth as he can, but then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is also meaningless and depressing. What would you do? You know, I've heard stories like this, and I'm sure some of them mound to be true. I don't know. But many years ago, I heard of a particular case. It was in a newspaper, whether it's true or not. You can't believe everything you read in the newspaper. But there was an old poor lady in Chicago, and she was on the streets, and she went around begging from people for things, and she eat out of the trash cans and all kinds of stuff. And then one day, she was there, a beggar, just an old beggar, and she lived in a little bitty tiny room in an old antiquated hotel. And when the woman died, they went up to clean out her room, and somebody felt how strange this mattress felt, and they cut it open, and they found $100,000 of cash in that mattress. Guess who got that? The state. Oh, there's some boys in the state can know how to spend that $100,000. You know, but she didn't get no benefit from it. Just think what she could have done. She could have lived in a nice place. She could have slept on a good bed. She could have eat good food. And she could have lived in pleasure and had money left over. But instead, it's crazy what people do. It's all meaningless and depressing. You know, verse 9 and 10. Two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. Boy, how true that is. I mean, I think about every time I go to work on something, build a building or whatever, I think how long it takes me to do it by myself. I mean, you go to put up a sheet of metal on the side of a building. You got two hands and two knees. Now you got it up there. Now how are you going to reach down and get the drill? How are you going to do this? You know, or you reach down to get it and the metal slips. Or you reach down to get the drill and you pick it up and try to hold it on the side and the screw falls out. You know, you get so frustrated, you think, gee, so you finally get it done. You work 4 hours to do what two of you could have done in 1 hour. Sometimes you just don't have that helper. Two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But people who are alone when they fall are in real trouble. Do we know of people, especially elderly people, you know, that have fell somewhere in their home, that broke a hip or whatever and lay there for days before somebody found them? Yeah, we've always heard something like this, you know, some elderly person. So if you have an elderly person that's living by themselves, like a mother or sister or brother, dad or whatever, that's sure enough elderly, and they're getting around kind of feeble, call them and check on them every day. You know, when my mother was 83 years old, I called her regularly. Of course, she had lots of good friends down there at Goldthwaite, where we lived, and they were always communicating. In fact, I wanted to bring my mother up here and live in my new home. I just got this beautiful home built over there back in the 90s, and I told Mom, I said, Mom, why don't you move up here and live with us? Oh, she said, son, I don't know anybody up there. Said, all my friends are down here.
We're going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, The Comforter Lives in You, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106, or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.